That's right. It's a pet shop. That's right, madam.
You're selling smoke-damaged pets?
Not only smoke-damaged, madam. We do have some waterlogged guinea pigs. Very cheap.
Waterlogged?
Yeah, the firemen were a bit careless with their hoses, madam.
Do you have any goldfish?
Fried or grilled.
I don't want to cook one. I want a live one.
Yes, well, so do most people. That's why I'm letting these go so cheap.
But good to cook goldfish.
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
On what you have planned for tea tonight.
Look, young man, what I require is a pet. Something I can take for walks. A sort of companion that I can call an endearing name and that I can talk to when I'm lonely.
Well, what about this then, madam? Very good value.
What is it?
It's a cocker spaniel.
No, it's not. That's an urn with ashes in it.
Well, yes, it is now, but before the fire it was a cocker spaniel.
Well, what good's that?
Well, it won't cost you much to feed. You can take it for walks in the car. It will probably slot in the gum box very nicely.
Does it beg?
Well, no, madam, no. But no one's ever taken the time to teach it.
Well, it's not likely to beg in its present state, is it?
I didn't realise begging was a necessary prerequisite of the pet you had in mind, madam.
Well, it is.
What about this, then? A German Shepherd. Incredible value.
That's not a German Shepherd. That's a Dachshund.
No, madam, no. It's a German Shepherd.
But it's only 9 inches high.
Yes, madam, that was the fire. He had to squeeze under the door to get away, and he's never been quite the same since.
Well, no, thank you.
Right, well, what about this galah?
What's the matter with it?
Nothing, madam, nothing. Good talker, hours of fun. Only one thing, it likes lighting fires.
Lighting fires?
Pyromania, madam. Keep it away from matches. No trouble.
No, thank you. I don't want anything from this shop. In fact, I find this whole thing in very bad taste.
Bad taste, madam?
Yes, bad taste. I shall have to ring up the ABC to complain about the content of their radio programs. I think this sketch is an affront to animal lovers everywhere. And the person who wrote this should be locked up. Good day to you.
Madam! Madam! Wait! Oh, that's done it. Bloody galah. This is all your fault.
Shut up, Talbot!
It's Action Plus on Channel 14 this evening. At 7.30 after I'm Witless News, there's a poser for Rod in The Young Riveters as Trev invests heavily in cocoa futures and Raylene eats her artificial leg. That takes us up to 8.30 and 60 morons. Then at 9.30, Chuck and Wayne get it all together in Thunderjacks, our continuing thrill-packed miniseries about a team of gay Californian cloud seeders. At 10, it's our movie premiere of The Dog and Goat Act of 1912 on ice. Yes, Marvelous Clause 27 is intoned to the strains of Beethoven's 7th. Thrill to the fabulous light show as you see a real live prosecution. The costumes are fabulous. The singing exciting. The dancing is superb. Australia's first all-dog and goat ice spectacular. Yes, all the humor, tragedy, and pathos of this landmark legislation is brilliantly captured for you and your family to experience and remember. Entertainment Plus on Channel 14. Tonight.
And now it's time for our weekly Pets Corner with our regular veterinary consultant, Bruce Losis. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello there. Nice to be with you again. And as usual, I'm speaking from my surgery here at the clinic in Drainage Hills. And this week, a letter from little Narelle Sneeze of Varicose Heights. Hello, Narelle. It's a curiously congested part of the world out your way, isn't it, dear? And you write, Dear Bruce, I have a white rabbit called Grumpy, who is not allowed inside, but I sometimes sneak him in at night when Mum and Dad are watching their video. This week they had Naughty Nina's Bad Habits, which I'm not allowed to see. Grumpy is not quite house-trained yet, and I'm worried my mum will find one of the messes he makes and tell me to get rid of him. How can I house-train him, please? I bet he's a fluffy little fellow, Noel. And of course you don't want to lose him because of his little accidents in your room. But before I come to that, I'd like to go back to something else in your letter, if I may, dear. Which is this unstated curiosity of yours about your mum and dad's ritualistic medical experiments. They carry them out in the lounge room, don't they, Noel, and tell you they're watching some silly so-called erotic video movie. If you don't know the meaning of the word erotic, by the way, look it up in Dr. Drubbone's Clinical Dictionary at the local library. It's a very instructive volume for young folk, I find. But these experiments, Noel, they worry me a bit, I'm afraid. Have you spoken to anyone about them? Does your teacher know, for example? Or you could have a word with your local police sergeant. I'm sure he's a friendly, understanding sort of a chap. Just say you don't understand why Mummy takes trays of scalpels and syringes into the TV room after dinner and puts bloodstained smocks into the laundry basket afterwards, that sort of thing, and the sergeant will understand. Now, how can you house-train Grumpy? Well, I'm afraid you can't house-train a rabbit, Noel, unfortunately. What you'll have to do is get a supply of disposable nappies and wrap him up in one when you bring him in. Only don't cover his head, dear, or he'll suffocate. All right, Noel, I hope I've helped you today, and now this is Bruce Lazarus saying goodbye till next time, and do remember, if tender loving care doesn't work with your bunny, you could always threaten myxomatosis.
He's a true blue serpent, he's always on the beach. With zinc cream on his nose and an esky within reach. With cancer off the skin, he is a lovely golden brown. But every time a wave comes up, he's always lying down. Sand and sun and suntan oil and thongs and ankle straps. Prawns and chips and teas and a circle on the rack. Sunglasses, peroxide, a dozen bars of wax. A panel van with curtains and a mattress in the back. He's battled with the meter maid that surfers paradise. He's battled with the dogs and cats and sewage at Bondi. In Darwin, Perth and Byron Bay and even in Melbourne. He's watched a million waves come in but never ridden one. Sand and sun and suntan oil and thongs and ankle straps. Prawns and chips and titties and a surfboard on the rack. Sunglasses, peroxide, a dozen bars of wax. A panel van with curtains and a mattress in the back. You'll see him at the surf club, a smile upon his face. Pouring on the pokies and staring into space. Spewing in the parking lot and having loads of fun. Waking for tomorrow for his daily dose of sun. Sand and sun and suntan oil and thongs and ankle straps. Rolls and chips and cheese and a surfboard on the rack. Sunglasses, peroxide, a dozen bars of wax. A pedal van with curtains and a mattress in the back. Sharks and rips don't worry him because he's dinky die. Once he caught a tidal wave and rode it to the sky. He says he's like the Iron Man, the Iron Man's like him. The only difference is the fact that he can't bloody swim. Sand and sun and suntan oil and thongs and ankle straps. Rolls and chips and teas and a surfboard on the rack. Sunglasses for offside, a dozen bars of wax. A panel van with curtains and a mattress in the back.
Mightier than King Kong, meaner than Godzilla, and more vicious than Skippy. It came from Weegee Mulpa. In our last exciting episode, Jeffrey the Giant Sheep had disappeared. After eating most of Perth and little bits of Kalgoorlie, the mutant Merino fled into Australia's vast interior and vanished. Only by using the amazing nostrils of Rover the Duck was our hero, Jason Furbish, able to track the monster down. But the sight he beheld turned his blood to ice. Even his boss, the gruff but alcoholic editor of the Fresh Fish Daily, finds it hard to believe.
It's eaten Ayers Rock?
Yes, Chief.
All of it?
I'm afraid so, Chief.
You mean Ayers Rock just gone?
Not quite.
What do you mean, not quite?
It's left behind a pile of what you might call Ayers Pebbles.
Oh, Australia is surely facing its darkest hour, with Perth half demolished, a giant sheep on the loose, and now Ayers Rock reduced to a pile of manure. What could possibly be worse?
Giant blowflies!
You better believe it. Unless Jeffrey is sure, and very soon he'll come down with blowfly strike.
And you know what that means? His radioactive dag will transform the merest housefly into a monster. A blow is so big it will blot out the sun.
But how do you crush a 50-story sheep, Papa?
Well, first of all, Liebchen, 150 commandos disguised as members of the Wool Marketing Board chased Jeffrey into Lake Burley Griffin, which has been specially trained for the purpose. There, a hen-picked team of kamikaze bureaucrats ties him down with red tape while a shear and a combine harvester is lowered by helicopter onto the immobilized merino and catches him. Finally, the lake is pumped full of sheep dip and Jeffrey is released.
But are you sure it will work?
It's foolproof. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
Professor, the shearers are on strike.
Why, lieber Gott, what's wrong?
They don't like the harvester.
But why?
It's 30 feet across.
So?
So, that makes it a wide comb.
Well, who will shear Jeffrey now? Is Australia doomed to a daggy end? And if there are giant blowflies, can giant spiders be far behind? Tune in again for the next exciting episode of... It Came from Widgiemooltha.
Good night, Mr. Schultz.
See you, Dawkins.
Night, Mr. Tagliatelle.
Ciao, Dawkins.
Bye, Herr Schickelgruber.
Do the same, Dawkins.
Are you fed up with being a freckly Anglo-Celtic non-entity? Are you ashamed of your whining nasal Australian voice? Generally tired of being ignored in favor of people whose origins are more exotic than your own?
Hello there. I'm Frank Dawkins. I'm in bookkeeping.
Really? Excuse me. There's someone I know. Luigi! Darling!
Well, don't just stand there like the idiot that you probably are anyway. Join a cultural minority. Our counselors, speech therapists, and plastic surgeons will remold your identity to the fashionable ethnic group of your choice. And for 1 week only, we're slashing 50% off a new life as a Mongolian herdsman or a Portuguese washerwoman. Remember, there is a cultural minority near you.
Shake them feet. Everything's a perfect dream, down on Jolly Farm. Regular in habit, a cock begins to crow. And the old buck rabbit, they're sticking up your jumper for audio. All the little ducks go quack, 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 quack. Cows all moo,
moo.
Bulldogs too,
moo.
Everyone says, how do you do, down on Jolly Farm.
The music of the Dust Bowl, the irony and zeitgeist of Oklahoma's angst in the 1930s embodied in the soul of Michael Conway and his celebrated carnival. Now Radio Helicon continues with The World of Renaissance, a series in which we examine excerpts from famous poetry and drama. Today we look at a scene from Shakespeare's Macbeth, in which Macbeth, succumbing to his wife's evil wishes, prepares to commit the ugly murder of King Duncan. He speaks as he leaves his wife's chamber.
I go, and it is done. The bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan, for it is a knell that summons thee to heaven or to hell. Hark! Knocking?
Ah, 'tis your brother Dennis.
Get a mate. Just passing through. Thought we'd drop in. Hope you don't mind.
My plans are all but ruined.
Ah. Going away for the weekend, were you? Actually, Gwenny and I were just on our way to Burnham for the jousting, you know. Thought perhaps you and the little lady might like to come along.
Dennis, thou hast arrived at an unseemly time.
Oh. Oh, you haven't had a tiff, have you?
No, we are.
Oh, I thought perhaps old Macklemore might have packed up his tights and been heading back to Mother.
Dennis!
Yes, mate? What can I do for you? Put the kettle on and shut the door?
I have plans of the most urgent matter.
Yeah, the wife told me. Having trouble with the downpipes. Nasty business, that.
If it were done when 'tis done, then 'twere well it were done quickly.
Yeah, too right. You could have rain coming in the kitchen before you know it. Look, hey, look at this. I've got some slides here of Gwenny and me in Venice. We met some great people there. This bloke Antonio, a merchant of sorts, and really quite a...
My brother, ambition hath a hold of me. I will speak with you in the morrow.
Now, Macbeth, you're not on this vaulting ambition kick again, are you? Blimey, Aunt Maisie has never forgiven you for what you did to Uncle Neville that night your ambition got the better of you. Oh, bloke, you didn't know what hit you.
You've heard Hooked on Classics and Hooked on Swing. Now listen to Hooked on Silence. That's right, one whole record, two whole sides of absolutely nothing. What about this? Or this? And who can ever forget this? Hooked on Silence, the record you play when you're not playing a record.
Come in.
Ah, Miss Carrington, is it? Please take a seat.
Thank you.
I'm Captain Mackenzie, and this is our purser, Mr. Dawkins, who is acting for the First Mate.
Good afternoon, madam.
And this is Miss Harlow, our social director.
Hello. Have a deck coit.
Thank you.
Now, I understand you were interested in a position in one of our lifeboats.
Oh, very much so. I've always been attracted to the idea of surviving shipwrecks, and after the plane hit us, it seemed like a good idea to try my luck. By the way... Will this take long?
Lifeboats aren't easy to get into, you know.
I'm sure you understand that we have had many applications recently. Do you have any experience?
Well, I've spent a lot of time in the ship's pool floating on an air mattress.
Well, it's not much, is it?
You must realize that nowadays, women and children first is gone by the board.
Not to mention all that rubbish about the captain going down with the ship.
No, indeed. Lead by example. That's my motto. No one can accuse me of being paternalistic.
Oh, yes, I understand all that, but do you think you could find a place for me? I'm getting desperate. The water's up to my knees.
The water's up to everybody's knees.
You see, Miss Carrington, it's a matter of incentives. By having several applicants for each position, it ensures that only those that really want to survive will.
Don't be too discouraged, though. You're still being considered.
By the way, You're not a vegetarian, are you?
Oh, no, I eat just about anything.
Good. We may be in the boats quite a while.
Well, no more questions from me, Miss Harlow.
Do you play shuffleboard?
I thought we'd discussed that already.
Just a small court.
Oh, impossible, Miss Harlow. There's no room if we take the roulette wheel.
You can go now, Miss Carrington. We'll let you know as soon as we can.
Yes, I'll be waiting on the top deck.
She expected it to be handed to her on a silver platter, didn't she?
Just like I've been saying all along, young people nowadays are just unwilling to take the turn.
Come on, Dawkins, let's get back to it. There's still another 800 applicants to get through.
Dearly beloved brethren, remember the old days when you could only contribute to the collection plate on Sundays? The embarrassment of having to dig deep to find the right change. Well, those days are over. Holy Card is here. Holy Card through your local church flexiteller. Holy Card means you can give 24 hours a day, any amount, any time, at the church of your choice. Just key in your own personal PIN number and your conscience is clear.
You are now forgiven your sins.
So, make an investment for the future with new Holy Card. The benefits are out of this world. Rejoice and be glad. Holy Card.
Hello, darling. It's been a long time. You've changed.
Yes, I'm a man now.
When did you...
have the operation?
Yeah.
After the divorce.
Wow. It's changed you. I wouldn't have recognized you, except for the moustache.
It suits me, don't you think?
Well, it suits you better than it did before.
What about you? You still drinking and carrying on with other women?
Oh, no, not anymore. I found out you were right. Deep down, I just hate women.
Yes, I hate them too now. I don't know how you ever put up with me. I was just being stupid, emotional, rational all the time. I can see it now.
If only you'd been a man when I married you, it might have all been so different.
Well, can't we be friends now?
Well, I'd like to, but... well, you might as well know. I'm becoming a woman next month.
What?
The operation's all set for the 23rd.
Roger! How could you do it?
Well, it's no use trying to explain. We could never understand each other.
I guess this is it then. Still, I'd like you to have something before you go to remember me by. It may come in useful.
What is it?
It's an old bra. Wear it and think of me.
Mom! Jar Jar Ramen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like your attention, please. Oh, I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Here they are.
And you can take your overcoat and the scuba gear with you. Come on, get out.
We've been slightly out to lunch with Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Angela Webber, Adam Bowen, Drew Forsyth, Peter Smalley, Lance Curtis, Jill McKay, Peter Whitford, Jean Harris and Genevieve Moy. And they've all been forgiven. It came from Widgie Multa, was produced by Brother Robert. Production assistant was Sister Linda. Imprimatur, Sister Julianne Ford. Bellringer John F.X. Farkas, Berger Brother Walker, and produced by Brother Kevin and Brother Anthony.
Galileo looked out one sunny morning and saw a star. That star became the guiding light of all astronomers.
She's dead. Nothing is going to bring her back now. Nothing. Kirk, nothing.
Rod, you got to forgive yourself.
Oh, shut up. Dreary old bag.
Was it Indians who did this?